Right, hopefully you're all there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering it, watering the earth and making it blood and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, anoint my mouth. Anoint my mouth, King Jesus, that I speak your word and only your word. Anoint the ears of the hearers that they hear your truth and only your truth. And Holy Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in this place. Fall afresh in this place. Do a new thing in this place. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. So this is a powerful and well-known portion of scripture. Most Christians use it as, you know, well, God works in mysterious ways, and his ways are not our ways. But there's more to the actual context. Now, this actual portion of scripture was given to Isaiah by the Lord, and he was directing it at the Jewish exiles in Babylon who believed that they'd sinned so deeply that God would never want them back. And so their thoughts told them that restoration is impossible. You know, we've sinned so badly, so deeply, God's not going to want us back. And just before, in verse 7, God commands the wicked to forsake their way, because God is going to abundantly pardon. And so it's to these broken and exiled people who knew that they were ruined, they'd ruined their own lives by turning away from God, that God says, I'm going to abundantly pardon you. And this sounded too good to be true for them, because human nature doesn't pardon, does it? It doesn't naturally pardon people. So when Isaiah was saying to them, God's saying, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not like you. When I pardon, I freely pardon. And this for them was, what? You freely pardon? Yes, you've sinned greatly against me, but I'll bring you back and I will pardon you. And that was difficult for them to understand, as I said, because human nature doesn't pardon. We like to hold a grudge, don't we? Yeah, we want to take revenge when we feel hard done by. We tend to hold on to malice and bitterness. And sometimes we hold on to it for years and years and years. But God doesn't. He's not reluctant to pardon. Our God has no malice, no desire for revenge. God forgives freely, fully, without reservation or private grudge, forgetting as well as forgiving. Hallelujah. That's our God. He pardons completely. He doesn't hold anything back from us. God forgives, but we struggle to forgive. We hold on to unforgiveness with a vice grip. The only problem is that it cripples us, and then it spoils everything around us, doesn't it? So, unforgiveness is toxic. It's like an internal poison. We keep going on and on and on about it. It keeps going on round and round and round in our heads. Did you know unforgiveness kills? No joke. unforgiveness kills. And I know people say, I can't help it. I can't get it out of my head. I know. I hear what you're saying, Lynette, but it's stuck in here. It's stuck in here. I know. But guess what? Jesus sets free. Jesus sets free. And I pray freedom in your mind in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus sets free. Someone needs to hear that this morning, that we have a living God and he sets free. He forgives freely, and because he forgives us freely, we can forgive freely. Hallelujah. So the title of my message this morning is, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I say that to David sometimes. What are you thinking? So what do you want to know what I'm thinking about? I said, I'm just wondering, just checking, all is okay in there. So what are you thinking? Verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So Isaiah was saying this to the exiles, not to rebuke them, but to reassure them and to comfort them. I will forgive, I will deliver. All is not lost. And some of us need to hear that this morning, that even though what's going on is not making sense right now, God has a plan. God has a plan. Amen. And he's saying, I will deliver. I have a plan. Even though it doesn't make sense to you, I have a plan. Our God has a plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One commentator I read said, the human heart is filled with questions for God. Why God? When God? How God? And we often wrestle with our faith because of those questions. How can we trust fully a God that we don't understand? He disappoints our hopes. He foils our expectations. He crosses our designs, he removes our property, removes our friends, he thwarts our purposes in life, he leads us in a path which we had not intended, and secures our ultimate happiness in modes which are contrary to all our designs and all our desires. Isn't that what happens? We've got a plan, and we want to go in that direction, but God's like, nope. Nope, he's closing, close that door. What do you want, God? He says, walk this way. Walk this way. And the commentator continues and says, if we try to understand God's way from the earth looking up, we won't find many answers. The truth is, our way is never God's way. It's never God's way. His way, they're just different. They're just different from ours. They're higher, and not slightly higher, far above. And they're better, and not slightly better, far, far superior to anything that we plan. God is God, and we're not. Hallelujah. So what are you thinking? That's my question this morning. What are you thinking? So I woke up, confessions of a pastor's wife. So I woke up last Monday morning. I hadn't even got out of bed. And I thought to myself, you keep going on about this Balperazim, God of the breakthrough, God of the breakthrough, master of the breakthrough, God will break out. Where is it? Where is it, Lynette? Where is it? And then I continued with my thought pattern and thought, you know what? There's much better churches than Life Church out there. They've got more people who are really going for God. They've got beautiful buildings with stained glass windows. There's more anointing. There's better worship, better instruments, sound system, better facilities, better teaching, better children's facilities. Can you see where it's going? Better young people. Much, much better churches than Life Church Epi. Where is the Balperazin, Lynette? I haven't even got out of bed. Where is the Balperazin? And I could feel the spirit of discouragement hovering. It wanted to land. I could feel it hovering all morning. And a little bit later in the morning, I thought, hold on. Because these thoughts were hovering, I thought, hold on, why am I thinking like this? I don't do discouragement. I'm not the sort of person that gets discouraged and feels sorry for myself. I don't do it. What is this? Then it clicked. Ah, devil. The lies you tell. Trying to discourage. And I said to the devil, so what? What's your point, devil? So what? There are better churches out there. So what? There are better churches. So what? Glory to God, because we're all part of the same church. God has called me to this church.
Amen.
God has called me to this church. And here I put my heart and my hand, and I'm not turning away. So what, devil? So what? Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. And in fact, because you have provoked me, I'm going to pray even more. I'm going to pray even more. And I'm going to declare the word of the Lord over Life Church Epping even more. Balperazin. Our God is a God of the breakthrough. Balperazin. Our God is a God that breaks out. And some of you need to say that in your lives. In your own circumstances. That Balperazin. So what, devil? So what? Our God is a living God.
Amen.
Someone needs to hear, so what, devil? I'm trusting God. He nearly messed up my whole week. And I didn't even bother to tell you. You're hearing this for the first time now. Didn't even bother. I said, I'm not polluting my husband's mind with that nonsense. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it because discouragement loves company, doesn't it? Oh, I feel so miserable. And everyone else must join in my misery. Discouragement, misery, it comes by being trapped. It's repetitive thoughts that get trapped in our minds. Negative self-talk. Saints, don't allow it. Don't allow negativity to set in here. Don't allow it. And don't allow anyone else's negativity to set in here. Don't allow anybody else's bad attitude to get in here. Don't allow it. Because what we think matters very, very, very much to God. Because our lives will follow the direction of our strongest thought. Our lives follow the direction of our strongest thought. And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We've given our hearts to God, but have we given our minds to God? We've confessed the sinners, but have we given our minds to God? How do we tell if we've given our minds to God? We check what's going on in here. Check what's going on in here, saints. What preoccupies our minds? What do we think about all the time? I was listening to this Christian neurosurgeon. He's done a whole lot of research about the mind, and he said that roughly 80% of our automatic daily thoughts are negative and are untrue. 80% of things that are popping into our minds, involuntary words, images, ideas that pop into our minds throughout the day are untrue. They're untrue. 80%, as much as 80% of what we think is popping into our, it's not true. It's incorrect. That's a whole load of percentage, that is. And you know how these thoughts are. They just pop in from nowhere. Another confession from a pastor's wife. So, some of the thoughts that pop into my mind actually make me jump. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Where did that come from? You're in the middle of a holy moment. Oh, I'm desperate for you. And then, whoop, you're like, whoa. Is it just me? Because everyone's looking at me like blank, like, do you really do that? Don't know anything about that. Honestly, you're in the middle of worship and you're like, yeah, I've set my heart to worship God. And then a thought pops in and you're like, Lord have mercy. Where on earth did that come from? Where on earth did that come from? Saints, let me tell you. Those are what are called the fiery darts of the evil one. Because just as God wants our minds, the devil also wants our minds. He wants our minds too, because he knows if he has our minds, he has our life, he has our future, he has our hope, he's got us. He's got us, saints. He's got us. And King Jesus called the devil the father of lies, John 8:44. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And in the book of Revelation, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. The devil wants our minds. The devil wants your mind. And so he'll drop in thoughts, and you think, I wonder why I'm thinking that. He'll drop in thoughts. Our Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Our King Jesus does not lie. He does not lie. You see, the devil will disguise himself as a friend and whisper a deadly lie. Oh, that's just a thought, you think. But then he'll keep whispering it and whispering it and whispering it until it becomes a stronghold in our minds. And what's a stronghold? It's a well-defended lie in our minds. He'll keep whispering, and he'll whisper, and you'll whisper, and you'll whisper, until it becomes a stronghold. And that lie in your mind becomes the truth. The devil is a liar, and in him there's no truth. And the devil's got time, you know. He'll wait. He'll bide his time. And he'll wait. That's why 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be alert. Be of sober mind. And you know, his best form of attack is what we think about others and what we think about our situations. That's his best and his favorite form of attack. So what are the lies that we're believing? Some of the lies. Just expecting worst case scenarios all the time. You know, the person I was, that's not going to work. Worst case scenarios all the time. Assuming we know what others are thinking. Oh, they don't like me. Well, what do you mean? I can just tell. They don't like me. Okay. Mistaking our feelings for facts. Because I feel it, it must be true. And the world is all about feelings. And, oh, it must be true because you feel it. Nope, that's a lie. Blaming yourself. Blaming yourself. I used to work for a women's rights organization. and we did a lot of stuff around domestic violence. And a lot of women used to blame themselves for being beaten by their husbands. So yeah, if he got home and I hadn't cooked, so it was my fault really. That's why he beat me. That's why I'm broken in three. My leg is broken in three places. It was my fault. And they really, really believed it. Blaming others when we know that we're really the problem. If you can't get on with anyone, I'm sorry, you're the problem. You're the problem, I'm just saying. Just putting it out there. I've messed up too many times. God is done with me. That's a lie. I'm still who I used to be. I haven't changed. That's a lie. I'm never going to change. That's a lie. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. God should fix everything for me while I do nothing. Another lie. God is punishing me. Another lie. God doesn't love me. Now that's a big lie. Come on. That's a big lie, but we'll believe it. I'm not sure that there is even a God. That's a lie. These are some of the lies that go around in our heads. I feel better if I sin. I feel better if I sin. Now that's a big lie. That's the biggest lie there is. And this is for the person, the Holy Spirit said, the person who's got an alcohol problem. You've got an alcohol problem. You drink to get drunk, but you can't hold your drink. And the scripture for you is Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If that word is for you, receive it in the name of Jesus. Don't be drunk with wine. Because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Saints, let's not react to everything we think. Or because I think it must be true. No, stop and check. Check it against the truth. How does it stand up to the truth? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient to Christ, every thought. Before it comes, even when it gets, where have you come from? Why are you here? And how do you line up with the truth? Check every thought. Don't just sit there and accept it. I'm telling you, last week, Monday, if I had accepted that thought, you might not have had a pastor's wife. If I did, seriously, I'm just like, what are we doing? What are we doing exactly? Don't accept every thought. And you know, this neurosurgeon said that roughly 90 to 95% of your thoughts today are exact repeats of what you thought yesterday. 90 to 95% of what you're thinking now is exactly what you thought yesterday. So round and round and round and round it goes. The same thoughts over and over again. And it's called, there's actually a term for it, the illusory truth effect. And it says, when a brain hears or thinks something repeatedly, it mistakes familiarity for truth. Because your brain replayed a worry yesterday, it feels highly valid when it resurfaces today, even if there's zero basis in reality. The illusory truth effect, look it up, it's a thing. So saints, if we have thoughts that are going round and round and round in our heads, day in, day out, mostly negative, and it's the negative ones that go round and round, isn't it? It's usually the negative ones, not the good ones, the negative ones going round and round and round in our head. One commentator says, We are running a non-stop internal propaganda campaign against ourselves. We're running a non-stop internal propaganda campaign against ourselves. Round and round and round and round it goes. Here's another study that I came across, the Newman Worry Study. It tracked people with anxiety, and researchers found that 91.4% of our daily worries and negative predictions never actually happen. 91% of the things we worry about are not going to happen. Can you imagine that? So we're thinking, what a waste. The devil is a liar, I tell you. He plans to steal our peace, damage our relationships, and get us to make the wrong decisions from places of anger, from anxiety, unforgiveness, bitterness, worry, and ultimately to stop our walk with God. That's what he's after, our walk with God. Yeah, you might be saved, but you're not going to achieve anything. You're not going to have a flourishing, abundant life. You're not going to have the life that Jesus promised. Yeah, you're a Christian, all right, but you're going to suffer for it. You're going to suffer for it. That's the devil's plan. I read this other book, A Near-Death Encounter, and it's a true story of a pilot who dies, and he meets his guardian angels and Jesus. And there's a statement in there that stuck with me, because he comes face to face with Jesus, and one of his guardian angels brings out a book from his sleeve, and it's the book of his life. And he said the book was very thin. He said it was very thin. And he said it was like a menu sheet from a restaurant. And he says it was sparse with entries of any kindness and any love that he'd shown to his fellow man. And the angel asked him, he said the angel looked at him and asked him, "What did you do with the life my master gave you?" And he writes, "Sadly, I had no answer." Anyway, Jesus sends him back and says, "Go and tell everyone what you've seen." So he's out there sharing his testimony and everything. "But what did you do with the life my master gave you?" That's, for me, that just gets me right here. Forbidden that our testimony would be a thin little book that, oh, you know what? I spent my life entertaining negative thoughts, hatred, division, just nastiness, worrying, anxiety, and everything else. Yeah, but I had this for you. God says, "But I had this plan for you. I had this plan for you." Yeah, but you see, the devil, he planted the... What did you do with the life my master gave you? What did you do with the life my master gave you? Jason, I like that song. "I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. I was made for more. You were made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more." You were made for more. You were made for more, saints. You were made for more. You know what I'd really like for us? For Life Church Epping. Matthew 25:21. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." That's what I'd really like for us. When we die, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share
your master's happiness.
That's my prayer for us.
That is my prayer for us, saints.
That we don't live mediocre lives. Mediocre lives, scratching around. That is my prayer. We were made for more. What are you thinking? Oh, here's another confession from a pastor's wife. What popped into my head this week again. Because the devil doesn't stop. Just because you've told him to hit the road in one area, he'll come, he'll bring something else. He keeps trying. He doesn't stop. He does not stop. So, middle of the week, why are you bothering with this hour of prayer meeting? Don't you know people aren't interested in prayer? People don't want to pray together. What's that for? Why are you doing it? No one's going to come, you know. No one's going to come. You're just going to be by yourself. Why don't you just pray at home? Let's just pray at home, Lynette. Nobody's going to come. Confessions of a pastor's wife. That's the sort of stuff that goes on in this head. Help me, Lord. Ah. So, I say, devil, not today. Not today. Not today. I'm going and we're having an hour of prayer because God said, pray without ceasing. I'm going and we're having an hour. I just need one other person, devil. One other person. Because two or three gather in my name, he's there. I only need one other person. And even if I don't get that one other person, devil, Elijah was a man just as I am. And he prayed. And he prayed and he was heard. So the prayer meeting is going ahead. The prayer meeting is going ahead. Glory to God. There was three of us and Jesus. Hallelujah. Baal Perazim. The God of the breakthrough. He is the God of the breakthrough. You have to believe it, saints, in your own life. Don't look at somebody else's life and think, oh, how come they got all this? They're confessing the word. They're reading the word. They're praying the word. They're committed. Resist the devil and he will flee. And I hear you saying, some of you saying, Lynette, I know what you're saying, but I'm struggling. I'm really, really struggling. I try to block the thoughts out. I try to pray. I try to read my Bible. I try and think of something else, but they keep coming back. I'm pretending to be okay, but I'm not okay. I'm actually not okay. And to the one the Holy Spirit showed me who's having dark, demonic thoughts, you're having really dark, demonic thoughts. I mean, very dark. He wants you to know he's there. God's light dispels the darkness. God's light will dispel the darkness. King Jesus came to set the captives free and release prisoners from darkness. This is what King Jesus specializes in. Freedom. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can set you free. Jesus can set you free. Receive your freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive your freedom. Receive freedom in your mind in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the power of the enemy over your mind. We break it in the name of Jesus. Those dark demonic thoughts must go. They must leave right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That name that is above all names. They must leave. You must go. Your time is up. Your time is up. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the word of God. There is power in the name of Jesus. Isaiah says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word will accomplish its purpose. God's word is not empty words. He's not speaking just to hear himself speak. One commentator writes, just as the rain falls to the earth with an irreversible life-giving purpose, watering the soil and generating a harvest, God's spoken word operates with the same unstoppable momentum. Whenever the word of God is spoken, when it's taught, when it's read, it always achieves precisely what God sent it to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word is never wasted. It instructs, it comforts, it convicts, it directs, it rebukes, it strengthens, but it is never ineffective. Never, ever, ever, saints. And you know, God's word has invisible properties that we can't see in the spiritual realms. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's word pierces, and it'll discern the emotional lies we're believing, the lies, the thoughts, the intentions of our hearts. Jeremiah 29 says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces? God's word is like fire. It burns away deceit and it purifies the mind. It's a hammer that will shatter and break down all demonic strongholds. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What's going on in there? What lies are you believing? And we can't stop the lies by willpower. We need more than willpower, saints. We need more than willpower. We need the word of God. So I've got some strategies. George, if you can put that last slide up. I hope you can see it, probably not. But I've got some strategies. The wonders of AI. I got some strategies to align our hearts to the truth. So yeah, AI did this for me. I thought it did a really good job. I'm an educator, so I work in education. And it's a bit of a side note, really. AI is plausible, but it's not truthful. AI will give you answers that are plausible, but not truthful. Make sure you always leave room for the Holy Spirit. So one of the things as educators that we're struggling with is that nobody's doing their own work anymore. Our students are just putting things in AI. And then they give you a piece, it's just AI. So now we're having to say, no, we're not accepting that piece, because you can spot it straight away. Because you use it all the time, we use it all the time. You can spot it straight away, okay, that, you're waxing lyrical, you are not that eloquent. You know, you're not that eloquent. So one of the things that we're now saying is that when someone hands in an assignment, we have a professional discussion with them to check how are you applying what you've written, to check the process that's gone on. Because people are just taking things from the AI and saying, da-da-da, look what I've done. No. So we're thinking of ways, we're having to think outside the box. So once upon a time, you just say, hand in your assignment, we'll mark it, and no, now we know. Right, how do you apply that? What does that actually look like in your work practice, in your, yeah. But anyway, for Christians as well, no harm in using AI. Use it for research. but leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak. Leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak. Anyway, sorry, so that was a bit of a sad note. Transforming our minds with God's word. So first thing, don't let thoughts go unchecked. Check every now and again. What am I thinking? Why am I thinking that? Where did it come from? Where did it come from? And challenge it. Do a thought analysis and think, what lines up with the word of God? And if it doesn't line up with the word of God, out, get out. Get out. I'm not even entertaining you. Get out. Repent of any wrong thinking. So where you've been thinking wrong, it's sin. So repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Renew your mind over that situation. So what does God's word actually say? And then align yourself with God's word. And then speak God's word. Speak God's word. Thank you, Pete. Speak God's word. Can I get an hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Saints, I have to say, we're a Pentecostal church. I promise you. We are a Pentecostal church. We are noisy. We are spirit-filled. Amen. We feed back.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God help us. Yes, we're a Pentecostal church, Lord. I know you couldn't tell. Anyway, so word of God, declare. Declare the word of God on repeat.
Amen.
On repeat, saints. Amen. Declare the word of God on repeat. Declare it on repeat. Don't just allow it. Declare the word. No. God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. No. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No. God has good plans for me. No. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Declare the word. Declare the word. Repeat. Repeat out loud. Declare the word out loud. It changes the spiritual atmosphere. We're not alone, saints. We're not alone. We war against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. We waste a lot of time fighting people. A whole lot of time fighting people. Declare the word of God and then pray God's word continually. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus Christ. God says he's engraved me on the palm of my hands. I cancel that negative word spoken against me with the blood of Jesus. I cancel it with the blood of Jesus. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, I will condemn. I will condemn. This is the heritage, my heritage, as a child of God. Declare the word out loud. Cancel with the blood of Jesus. Reject with the blood of Jesus. Pull down with the blood of Jesus. With the name of Jesus. That name that is above all names. Pull down the lies. Pull on. You see, you can't be English about this. I'm not English. But you can't be polite with the enemy. Honestly. Look, the Bible says we should pray earnestly. Do you know what earnest prayer is? Earnestly. This is...
Huh? Fervent.
Yeah. It talks about fervent prayer. Do you know what that looks like? This is your life, saints.
Mm.
This is your life.
Amen.
Pray, saints, pray. I can only pray so much. But then you can pray. Because you know it's affecting you. You can pray. Don't be English, be biblical. Be biblical, saints, be biblical. Earnest, fervent prayer. Be fired up. And say, no, I'm not accepting this anymore. Pray God's word continually and worship.
Worship, worship, worship. Hallelujah. Worship, worship, worship. Have it playing all the time, all the time, all the time. Play worship, play worship. You're in trouble. You're in trouble right now, and you're listening to the songs of the world. Really? Like, really? You are in trouble. And what? Really? Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Amen.
Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Come on, saints. You're in trouble and you just... Worship, saints. Worship. Worship. Come into church. And you're like this. I'm not singing that song. Like, really? You're not singing to me. You're not singing to Jason. You're not singing to you. To the King of Kings. He is worthy. He is worthy, saints. He is worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
It doesn't affect me if you don't sing. It affects you. Don't you see?
That's right.
Oh, saints. And please receive it with love. I'm a bit passionate, so please receive it with love. There's no, but come on, lift those holy hands. This is to God, the one who created you, who gives you life. Anyway, I'm coming to land. Claim victory. Jesus won the victory for you on the cross. Claim the victory. That Jesus Christ, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. You never change. You never change. You never change. Hallelujah. So think about what's going on in here, saints. Please, 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 I beg of you, think about what's going on in here. Because it's going to affect the quality of your life. I don't want you to get to glory. You'll get in. You'll get in. But then our Master Jesus saying, what have you done with the life that I gave you? What did you do with the life that I gave you? Or I spent it worrying, being anxious, unforgiving? No. He said, but that wasn't the life I had for you. I had so much more. We were made for more. Hallelujah. I end with this, Jude 24. I love Jude 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And the church said,
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, darling. Well, a couple of things from that. First of all, I think I better ask you what you're thinking in the future.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
That's right.
Right, yeah. What are you thinking? And you know, it's I've been challenged by that this week, you know, these negative thoughts that the enemy puts into your mind, and he constantly does it, you know. And the answer is in Psalm 1. The answer is in Psalm 1. Just so happens, which we're studying. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That word delight means submit. Submit to the law of the Lord. Law, the word law, means the word. It means the word of God. Not the law, just the law of Moses. It's the whole word of God. So we submit to the whole word of God. And that's what we meditate on day and night. That's what we meditate on day and night. And then everything else comes from that. Our meditation. We are what we meditate on. Do you know that? A man is what he meditates on. And if he's meditating on all rubbish,